What's happening locally? The news.
And let us take this morning's look, shall we? Our midweek look, Wednesday morning's look at some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The second day of the trial of the Lava Yato case began on Tuesday with the presentation of the authorized public accountant, José Ángel Alamanza Navarro, a witness requested by the second prosecutor's office against organized crime. Alamanza, who was deputy commissioner, worked for 26 years in the money laundering department of the Judicial Investigation Directorate, the DIJ, until he retired last year. The witness said that he prepared a financial performance report on the activities of the Mossack Fonseca firm. The preliminary report was prepared with information provided by the public ministry. As the investigations progressed and the responses from the judicial assistance sent by Brazil arrived, he maintains that his report simply left a record of the traceability of the money that, according to the prosecution, was laundered by the defendants. We traced the money from one account to other accounts, and he stressed that his report is not a forensic audit, since this work is the responsibility of the Institute of Legal Medicine and Forensic Sciences. Alamanza confirmed that he made a report on the transactions carried out by Banco do Brasil to Mossack Fonseca between 2013 and 15, a period in which he transferred the sum of $2.3 million. The expert was ratified in the report prepared in 2018, which details that the defendant, Maria Mercedes Riaño, obtained benefits from these transfers. Riaño managed the office of Mossack Fonseca do Brasil, a company registered in the British Virgin Islands in 2009. The final action report prepared by Almanza and the Major José Inés Gil concluded that according to the analysis carried out, Riaño has assets of $197,279.51 and income for $113,948.49, remaining to justify the sum of $83,331.02. The DIJ report warned of a triangulation of money through different bank accounts, trying to hide its origin and avoid the trace of the money, and that this is a modality used by organizations to hide the true origin of the funds. Almanza was also questioned by Julio Macias from the forensic firm Castro and Castro, lawyer for the accused Riaño. Questioned by Macias, Almanza said that he did not know the amounts or rates charged by Mossack Fonseca through the intermediary of the offices in Brazil. However, the witness remarked that there were no supports to justify the inflow of money. There are no parameters. It was simply received and sent. There has to be a record in an accounting system. Money cannot just be sent just like that, he stressed. The Chamber of Commerce, Industries and Agriculture of Panama, the CCIAP, launched on the morning of Tuesday its project agenda PAIS 2024-2029, in which presidential candidates, accredited until now by the Electoral Tribunal, members of the society organized and civil society, presidents of political parties and leaders of the business union. At the event, the participants were able to hear from the president of the CCIAP, Adolfo Fabrega, what this country agenda consists of, which will be delivered to the presidential candidates who will compete for the country's presidential seat in the 2024 general elections. Said project will start on the 16th of August with a series of thematic forums on the subject of education, health and well-being, bureaucracy and corruption, water and sustainability, and employment and entrepreneurship. In the opinion of the business sector, it is necessary for these issues to be debated and also to find solutions in order to achieve the well-being of all Panamanians. The government has shown that it's willing to use any number of millions of Panamanian dollars for political activities. Now, this is how the presidential candidate of the Otro Camino movement, that's known as MOCA, Ricardo Lombana, reacted after learning that despite the criticism, the government of Laurentino Cortizo has not stopped the flow of public funds for friends and allies and ordered payments of 18 million dollars as part of the parallel decentralization. Lombana made the caveat that this has also occurred in previous government administrations and that they only changed the name. He cited, for example, the case of Form 80 in Form 172, and now this has been called parallel decentralization. The model is repeated under different names, he remarked. The Moka presidential candidate stressed that it is about millions of dollars from all Panamanians for funds for political activities. More serious is that those who are in office to stop this don't do it, he said. For this reason, he reiterated the call both to Comptroller Gerardo Solis, and who, in Lombana's opinion, appears to be a PRD activist, and to Electoral Prosecutor Lilio Arcia to carry out the proper investigations. Another presidential candidate who referred to the issue of the continuity of the delivery of money through parallel decentralization was José Isabel Blandón from the Panamanista Party, who asked Comptroller Solis to carry out the pertinent investigations, since it is a significant sum of money which does not belong to the government, but it belongs to all Panamanians. Blandón made it clear that he believes in decentralization, but that go equally and impartially to all local governments with specific powers and supervision of the Comptroller General and the community. The presidential candidate of the Panamanista Party also said that he hopes that all those who have not made good use of the resources, well, that they're brought to justice and sentenced. The statements of both were given in the midst of their participation in the launch of the Country Agenda 24-29 by the Chamber of Commerce, Industries and Agriculture of Panama. This is ahead, of course, of the 2024 general elections. With this video, I want to put on record that a few minutes ago I was threatened with a weapon in the Boca La Caja neighborhood in the San Francisco township. In this way, a video begins in which Serena Vanvas, pre-candidate for representative of the township of San Francisco, published independently on her social networks. The incident, as reported by Vanvas, occurred on the afternoon of Saturday, the 24th of June, and according to what she said on TVN's Morning News, the people who threatened her are two men of approximately 30 and 40 years of age. One of them, she narrated, told her that she had to leave, or he would kill her, because that was the territory of the current representative of the Corregimiento, Carlos Perez. She replied, "But I'm not doing anything wrong." Next, another arrived with a weapon, cocked it, and told her, "You are leaving here because we are with him, Perez Herrera." I was left cold. Obviously, it's a situation I didn't expect. I don't even know if there are people from the area. I'd not seen them before, she recounted. Vanvas took the case to the public ministry and requested a protection measure, but said, "Well, that's a piece of paper. It does not stop the bullets." However, she assured that the incident will not stop her tours through the communities of the San Francisco Corregimiento, and as of Tuesday, Serena Vanvas has collected 2,059 signatures in her fight to obtain one of the three candidacies for representative of the San Francisco Corregimiento for free application. The minimum number of signatures required, by the way, for that position is 399, which represents 2% of the votes cast in that area during the last elections. Well, regarding the threat to Serena Vanvas, the PRD member Perez Herrera said, "I flatly reject the expressions made by the independent candidate made today on TVM, where she holds me responsible for the threat with a firearm during a walk she had in Boca Caja. I've never needed that kind of action to win an election. I find this action opportunistic, just to get the attention of the electorate and dirty my image. Those who know me know that I am a man of peace, and under no circumstances can I accept such a statement." Only 346 of the 2,189 PRD members who ran for the different popular election positions for the June 11th primaries of the Democratic Revolution Party, the PRD, delivered their campaign income and expense report to the Electoral Tribunal. Now, according to the data from the Tribunal Electoral, up until 5 p.m. on Monday, 1,843 PRD members had yet to present their report, which includes proclaimed and unproclaimed candidates. In the breakdown, the entity details that of the 723 proclaimed candidates, only 133 have delivered their report. Among them, the presidential candidate of the PRD, José Gabriel Carrizo. The other 590 remain delinquent. While of the 1,466 who were not proclaimed, a total of 213 have delivered the report, including two presidential candidates. The rest, 1,253, are pending to do so. The proclaimed candidates had until Monday to present the document to the Tribunal Electoral, and this was recalled by the entity through a statement based on Articles 240 and 241 of the Electoral Code and 171 of Decree 29 of May the 30th of 2022. Well, that's it. There we go. There's our look for this morning. That's our midweek look, our Wednesday look. Some of the items in the local news compiled for you here on The Breakfast Show.